Philippians chapter 4. Let us read again at verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And these words in verse 13 we can use as our text. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now it's not saying Christ will just do all things for me. This is not a case of what we sometimes hear, let go and let God. That is not the Christian walk. But it is, I can do through Christ which strengtheneth me. We are responsible creatures. We are not robots. We are not changed into robots when Christ takes over our lives. Now, when we think of things like Christian contentment, patience, thankfulness, all related things, is it not the case that we are, most if not all of us, are filled with considerable self-reproach because we know that we fail greatly on these things. And we ask the question, well, why is it so difficult for us to maintain these things? Why is it so difficult for us when we decide, well, I'm going to be content with my with the way I am, my circumstances and everything else? Why is it that it so quickly flees away and we are back to where we were? Sometimes we think, well, it's difficult in our age. These things are far more difficult than they were to our forefathers in the past. I do believe that there is a measure of truth in that, that it was probably not so difficult for them in a different age, a different lifestyle, a different pace of life. And there is no doubt that the modern pace of life makes it very difficult for the Christian to live Christian life in terms of their bearing, their demeanor, in terms of contentment and thankfulness, patience. Yet these are things that should distinguish us from the rest of the world. It's interesting in Romans chapter 1, where there is that horrendous catalogue of the sins, the abominations of the ungodly, and their godlessness, and their sheer arrogance in the face of God. And it adds the phrase, neither were they thankful. Now that's really quite thought-provoking. And surely the opposite of that should be true of us. If unthankfulness is one of the marks of the militant and godly, surely thankfulness should be a mark of our Christian lives, mark of our character as Christians. Now, it's difficult, but at the same time, it would be very wrong of us to surrender. And to just say, well, I can't do it, I've failed so often, I just can't get there, I can't maintain it. That is not the way of the Christian. That is not the way and the attitude that pleases God. But it is no surrender. We must never, ever surrender our aims and say, well, I just can't do it. And I'll just be like the rest of the world. Oh, yes, I'll be a believer. And my hope will be in Christ. And as far as these high aims are concerned, I will just have to settle for being like the rest of the world. That would be extremely wrong. Sometimes we are serious Christians, we ask ourselves the question, well, what is it that's so different about my life? What do my neighbors see that's so different? Is it just that I go to church and I don't do certain things on a Sunday? I don't hang out washing on a Sunday and things like that. Is that all? And it is just, it doesn't even satisfy ourselves, because we want to be different in a Christian way, Christianly different and knowable and recognizable. How can we accept with these things? Contentment, which includes patience and thankfulness. So we have to be determined, to be determined, and we have to look at the Word of God and follow out in our lives what the Word of God says. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, the literal translation there is perhaps a wee bit more helpful still. But it is not, the word strengthened here is actually a participle, a present participle. Now, you don't need to know any grammar, but it puts it like this. I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. There's a continuity in it. But he is the one who enables us. He is the one who is continually strengthening us. When Paul says, all things, I can do all things, you know, there's so much emphasis today in the modern church on miracles. Church seems to have this urge to prove their Christianity, to prove their spirituality. And they see miracle as the way to do that. Miracles of healing. Miracles of exorcism, various other kinds of miracles, even some people claiming miracles of resurrection. Do you know, spiritualists can show miracles. Satan can deceive or make us think. There is a real miracle happening. Miracles are no proof of Christianity. Down that road is not the biblical way. Christianity is not a life which proves itself by miracle. Christianity is about faith, faith in Jesus Christ. Living by faith and living in faith. So, what then? What is Christ speaking about when he says all things? Does he mean miracles? Well, we read the verses together. There's nothing there about miracles. He ends that short passage from verse 11. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But it's not miracles. But it's things to do with contentment. Being content in the circumstances that God has given to. Being content in what God has given to him. Being content in his situation. That's what it's about. And he ends it. He almost as if he draws a line under it and adds it all up. Bottom line, all these things. I can do all these things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, there is no doubt that one of the chief distinguishing signs of the Christian should be contentment. I don't think any of you would argue with me on that one. So first of all, what is true contentment? What is it to do with? What makes for contentment? Well, it is certainly not external. It is not to do with things or advantages or privileges. There are people in this world who are heaped up with all these things, but are not content. It is foolishness, utter folly to think, well, if I could just get this bit of my life, get it the way I want it to be. If I could have more of this, or less of this, or more of this, that, the next thing. No, I don't think anyone present here would be as foolish as to think that in any case. That is utter and complete foolishness. That things like possessions, privileges, advantages, that things like that can make for contentment. Please, do not be fooled by Satan to thinking that they can, because they cannot. They lead very often to more discontent. It is true of life. The more you have, the more you want. That is our sinful nature. But then what about circumstances? God gives us all different circumstances. And I do not think that there are many, if any, of God's children who do not have some difficult circumstances in their lives. Now we may look at some and say, well, that person doesn't seem to have any difficult circumstances. My friend, there are secret worries, secret concerns, secret circumstances that pain the hearts of God's people, and nobody sees them. Nobody sees them. Nobody is aware of them but themselves. They're not things that can be easily shared, not things that can be made public. God's children must have trials. Many have difficult circumstances. I was once preaching in another congregation at a communion time. The minister of the congregation was sitting beside me in the pulpit, and I was preaching about the trials of God's children. He told me afterwards that he was looking around the congregation and he could see people, some people, nodding their heads in agreement. And he said he began to go around them. And what is it? What's the trouble there? And it was family, 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 family. Painful things. Painful things in their families. Families are a great blessing, but they also bring their worries and their concerns. Now, just in passing, we have to mention this, that there is a kind of contentment which is not good. I have often spoken to you about the peace of the unbeliever who doesn't want that peace disturbed by me or you or anyone else coming with a disturbing gospel of Jesus Christ. We can put beside the peace of the unbeliever, we can put the contentment of the unbeliever. That kind of contentment is not good. True contentment is internal. It is something of the heart, independent of things, advantages, privileges, circumstances. Yes. Even independent of circumstances. Is contentment automatic from the moment we become Christians? Well, the Lord is good to his own child, to his own babe in Christ in the early days. Many have had this experience that everything is so perfect, so peaceful. And all Christians look so perfect. I can remember looking at the Christians in the congregation I was in, especially the office bearers. I saw them without spot. They were perfect. Maybe we will have a period like that. Maybe we won't. But one thing is sure, that God's children will not be automatically content for the rest of their lives. Although there may be that initial period of content. Secondly, contentment, true contentment, must be learned. It is not natural for human beings. It is not natural even for believers. It is not let go and let God. We are responsible creatures. Becoming Christians increases that moral responsibility more than decreases. But what Paul says in verse 10, I rejoice, he says, when the Lord greatly, but now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but will lack opportunity. This is about a gift which the Philippians had sent. And it was, what he writes is, in appreciation of their generosity. It was not that they were well off. But I think we can say about the Philippians that they were the people whom of all his people, all his congregations, that he loved the most. They were his joy and crown. And here he is, having received this gift from him. And it was just such a sweet savour of Christ. He loved it because it was from them. But he says then, but I speak not of want. Not that I speak in respect of want. For, he says, I have learned, note that word, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He is making sure that they know that he was not discontent with what he had, and that this gift had made him content. But he is telling them, I have learned to be content with all aspects of my life. I have learned it. Christianity involves learning. We are morally responsible creatures. We are intelligent creatures. We are reasonable creatures. We have to use all these faculties in our Christian lives. There are certain things we have to learn. One of these is contentment. I have learned to be content with all aspects of my life. In whatsoever state I am, no exclusions. But whatsoever state I have learned therewith to be content. This is a wonderful state for him to be in. But it was not natural. It was not automatic on becoming a Christian. It was something that he had to learn. Even the great apostle Paul had to learn it. And thirdly, we have the result of this learning process. He leads towards knowledge. Knowledge used here in a certain way. Not just the theory, but the application. You know, it's something like what we call the know-how of this matter. The phrase, I know how, occurs twice in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I know, he says, how to be abased. Abased. Have we learned that? Have we got the know-how? Is it important? You know, there's a great principle throughout the scriptures. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Abasement is of the essence of Christianity. humility and abasement, the essence of sanctification. There's a sense in which we are sanctified downwards rather than upwards. Being brought low, learning abasement, getting the know-how of abasement. And it is indeed a principle of sanctification and a principle of God's rule over his people. And you might say, well, surely this is not a difficult thing to learn. Simple thing, how to be abased. Well, it is very, very difficult, because it is totally opposed to our nature, totally opposed to our sinful nature. And after we become Christians, there is a tremendous deliverance, yes, but there is still indwelling sin. And that indwelling sin works against humiliation and self-abasement. There is that bigness in man that resists being abased, being humiliated. And he says, I know how to abound. How, in other words, to rejoice when I'm overflowing with plenty. You may think, well, that's not a difficult thing to learn. It is, you know. Because when things are abounding with us, we get big on it. We lose the abasement. We lose the humility. We lose in sanctification. It is wonderful. I know it is rare, but it is wonderful to hear of a wealthy person who is humble. It is extremely rare. Now, some of the saints in the Old Testament were prime examples of that. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, these patriarchs, they were wealthy people. God made them wealthy. But they were not proud. And where they were proud, God dealt with them. Then it says similar things, prefaced by the word, I'm instructed. That's just a word which I suppose it includes all the learning gathered together and instructed, having been taught and having learned. I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, to have everything and to be in need. I'm instructed, middle of verse 12, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. What is all this saying? It is saying that the circumstances made no difference to his contentment, because he had learned these things. He had learned to live even with the extremes, from one extreme to another. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And fourthly, these things applied in all circumstances. I, he says, can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things, all circumstances. I can do all these things. Miracles? No. Paul is not interested in miracles. He's interested in, apart, of course, from the miracle of regeneration, he is interested in contentment, in patience, in thankfulness, in learning these things, in knowing how to do it, how to be that. And be instructed in that way. And so, coming to the point of the enabling, finally, he says, I can do all things through Christ's enabling, strengthening me. We are not left on our own. Yes, we have to put every effort into these things. We must not drop out of that race, no matter how much we fall. God loves the one who trusts. God loves the leaner. Remember the picture in Song of Solomon, the last chapter. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Picture of the beloved leaning on Christ. Can do all things through Christ. You won't manage any of these things without the help of Christ. All things, not miracles, not things that you can bring out and show off, or tales that you can tell of, the modern church is so obsessed with. Demonstrable spirituality. Rather than a spirituality which speaks for itself. I remember learning a lesson speaking about badges that people wear. It was another Christian I was speaking to. And you know, sometimes you see a badge, Jesus is Lord, or Jesus saves, people wear a badge. And he says to me, he says, I don't like that. He says, this is my badge, the person I am. And it's stuck home with me. It's our passion, our demeanor, and it comes down very largely to our contentment and to our thankfulness. The all things of living in the wilderness of this world in contentedness. But it is in this wilderness that strength shines. And it will shine. And it should shine. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us to learn these things Save us, Lord, from stasis in our Christian lives. Save us, Lord, from being becalmed or anchored by the difficulties of this life. Help us to go on to progress. Be with us over these coming days. Watch over us, watch over our communities. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.